Good day, everyone, and welcome back to the John White Project. I am your host, John, and as promised, my wife is with us here. Hi, Joy.
Hi, John.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. All right. We were going to go and do an episode titled What Not to Say to Cancer Patients. People mean well when you tell them or when they find out you have cancer. And it's almost kind of like they don't understand what that means. Like one of those things that people say is, oh, you're too young to have cancer. Yeah, you're not. Little babies have cancer. Old people have cancer. It's just an unfortunate thing of life now. One of the comments I got was, well, at least it's prostate cancer. That's the good one to have. Tell me, Joy, is that the good one to have? Now, before you answer, I just want to clarify that Joy was very hesitant in doing this episode because she doesn't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable if they have said anything like this. But if you have said it to me, I'm not picking on you. These are actual questions that I've got off of a cancer website. And I just, I read them and I went, yeah, this is perfect. People should hear this because I probably did it too. So it's not like I'm thinking about people with cancer all the time. It's just you're thinking of, oh, yeah, my grandma's parrot had cancer, but he was okay. And you think you're actually encouraging people, but you're not. So is prostate cancer a good cancer for John to get?
No cancer is a good cancer for anyone to get. There's prostate cancer itself has different stages, just like all kinds of cancer. In your case, you are considered on the young side of things,
yes,
to have prostate cancer. So it's not entirely false to say, oh, well, it's a good one. It tends to be, from what we have learned, it tends to be more aggressive in younger men than it is in elderly men. And I'm not going to assign a number to that.
Yeah.
There's so many different things that come into play as far as, you know, family history and everything like that. And I don't think people, I don't by any means think anybody wants to say the wrong thing. I think people don't know how to address it or what to say. They don't know if they can ask questions. They want to be encouraging. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where some of these comments come from. Oh, well, I know so-and-so and they did great. And I think people want to try and empathize with you. They want to relate to you. They want you to know, oh, I've heard of this, or, oh, I have some experience with this. And I've seen other people do it with other people who have had different types of cancer.
Yeah.
I think the most important thing you can do is be encouraging.
Mm-hmm. So you don't want to say, oh, my grandpa had that. He died.
No, I think you don't want to say that. I think, I don't know, it's a difficult subject matter. It's uncomfortable, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to men's cancers.
And men don't talk about it generally. I am truly the exception to most of the rules on this. But that being said, this is like my therapy. I needed to get this out to deal with the reality of my situation. And quite frankly, if I'm thinking, if it can happen to me, it can happen to my friends. And just the fact that it's kind of an invasive kind of, okay, well, yeah, you got to get the finger. So it, And men don't want to talk about that. Men don't want to go in for that on their physicals. But I've been stressing for the past, it's almost 3.5 years.
I know.
That you need to do this. You need to, when you hit 50, you need to have a baseline. Not only for your PSA level, your prostate-specific antigen level, but the size and texture of your prostate as well. If something's going wrong, but all your numbers are cool, at least the doctor knows, okay, there's something going on here. So, you know, that don't be afraid. I mean, the worst thing is being told you have cancer. Been there, done that. My numbers just happened to double, you know, from one physical to the next. So we caught it early, but it was so aggressive that it kind of jumped up, reared its ugly head and took hold quickly.
Right.
Now, the doctor had said that, you know, I'd probably had it for years, but all my numbers were good. So, again, it's not a perfect science, but it saved my life. So I'm going to go and say early detection. It was like when we had Kerry on the show. His dad had prostate cancer, and he was a marathon runner. So when you're saying younger men tend to have more aggressive type prostate cancer, it's because of the testosterone. Yeah, testosterone.
Testosterone.
That's it.
There you go. Ding, ding, ding.
Wow.
Well, your willingness to be open about this, I mean, that stemmed from the realization very early on after you got diagnosed that, okay, how do we tell people?
Yes.
That was a process in itself. Obviously, we started with the kids and the parents, our closest friends. And then it became, well, how do you keep everybody kind of updated on what's going on, if they even want to know? And it's okay if you don't want to know. It's okay if you don't want to ask questions. And it's okay if you're, it's an uncomfortable subject.
It is.
But the whole John's Journal Facebook page started from that.
Yeah.
Well, we need a way to keep people in the loop because there were so many things happening, and there was doctor's appointments, and there was MRIs, and there was CAT scans, and there was blood work. And when you have as wide a circle of friends and family and acquaintances as we do, how do you sort of rein that in? So that's where that came from. And that's where, and this grew from that.
Yes.
So it grew from, and we recognized early on that you had an opportunity to maybe help somebody else or maybe save somebody else because it is a subject matter that a lot of men might not know about unless there's a family history.
Well, exactly.
And because there's this misconception that it's an old man's disease, it's important. If you have an audience, if you have a means to share, and if you're comfortable doing so, then you should.
Yes.
And I think there's a lot of people who were not comfortable asking questions, and I think they probably got information that they needed from your journal page on Facebook. I think that was helpful to some people.
Yeah.
And now it has become part of your recovery is being able to share it.
Yeah.
And still maybe help somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've gone into more depth on the podcast. We've talked about my mental health issues. It's a lot easier to talk about my mental health issues than it was to actually write about them. There have been some journal entries where I dictated to my phone, but I find just coming into the studio, sitting down, hitting record on, I'm going to throw out to Hindenburg. That's the program that I use to record everything on. It's just much easier for me to sit down and talk through my feelings, do some editing later, and have that put out there for everyone to hear and for everyone to hear how sometimes vulnerable it can be. Now, most of my episodes, I just kind of wing it. I'll have a central topic. Like today's topic is what not to say to a cancer patient. And I think we'll do a little quick year in review. Wish everybody a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And then we'll come back, I guess, the middle of January and start over again and let everybody know what's going on from that point. But yeah, I came across this article. It happened to be in a bowel cancer group on Instagram. And I thought, oh, that just follows so many things that I have heard, overheard in the background, or have actually felt. Like some of these things have never been said to me. There's one here. I didn't bother inviting you to the party because I know you were sick. I got all kinds of invites to everything because, you know what, my friends are awesome. That's why. They knew I was going through stuff, but they still invited me. They still made me feel as if I was part of the group, even though I either, either I couldn't take part in it due to stupid COVID restrictions or whatever, or the fact that I'm just tired all the time right now from going through the radiation, hormone therapy, just a whole bunch of stuff, you know? And I gotta say, I gotta give a shout out to all my friends. I mean, most of my friends are musicians and they've all invited us out to evenings out when the bands were playing, when we could play, to Jen and Al, to, you know, Monroe Stock, which is my favorite time of the summer. It's the August long weekend. It's when I get to cut loose and be my inner rock star. And everyone around us gets to be that inner rock star. Couldn't do it for 2 years. The first year I was just too tired. Last year we were still worried about the shutdown, the COVID. I am so looking forward to this year, though. I've already started thinking about songs I want to do with the guys. So, yeah. Yeah, and Joy, what has your take been through this? I mean, you've already said, you know, hashtag his fight is my fight. Mm-hmm. We're invited, we get excited, and then I don't feel like going for one reason or another, whether it be physical or lately, whether it's been mentally. Mm-hmm. And we kind of talked about this today. It's I don't like feeling like this. What's it like for you on the outside of my skin watching me go through this? And what's it like for you going through this? Because this is, I mean, yeah, it is your fight. And I gotta say, you've never given up. You have.
Oh, I'm far too stubborn for that.
You've never given up on.
I don't like to lose.
or no. On me myself. So
no. Every single time we get an invite to something, you may or may not notice we're a firm maybe. There's a reason for that, because I don't like to say, yeah, for sure, 100%, we're going to be there, we're going, let's do this, because I know that the likelihood is that right now we're not going to be able to do it for whatever reason, whether it's your fatigue or you're not feeling well. We haven't socialized much in 2 years. No. I got invited to a girls' night this summer, which was probably the highlight of my summer. And you know who you are if you're listening, and thank you, because it was the first time I actually got excited. But then it was sort of tempered with, well, no, maybe I shouldn't go. Maybe I ought to stay home. Maybe I ought to stay home with John. Or you had something going on that night, and I was like, no, I promised you I was going to go with you, so I'm going to go to that. And you're like, no, please, don't come with me. Go have fun with the girls. And I think I asked you like four times. Are you sure? You sure it's okay? Are you sure you're good with this?
I was so because happy there's, that you got that so chance to get out.
The partners of people who are fighting this, and I know this from other women and other people who have dealt with things like this, you kind of feel like you're not allowed to have fun. But I had fun. Good. It was great.
Yeah.
And it was literally the highlight of my summer.
I think you talked about it for 4 days afterwards.
Yeah, I think I did. So. It was fun. It was good to get it out and, you know, be with people who said, how's John doing? John's doing pretty good, blah, 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 blah. And then it was, how are you? And when people ask you, how are you, with intention.
Yes.
And you know, looking them in the eye, they actually want to hear how you are. That's gold.
Yeah.
It's gold. And it's okay if you don't want to ask. It's okay if you don't want to ask questions. It's okay if you don't want to hear how someone's doing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, for the most part, I think you can tell.
Yep.
It's struggle. I miss socializing. I'm looking forward to you getting as much back to the old you as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what we're dealing with now and what you're dealing with now. It's not my John.
No, it's not me at all.
And it's probably more frustrating than recovering from the surgery and watching you recover from the radiation and deal with the side effects of the Lupron and everything, because this is something that I can't really do anything to fix. I can't fix this.
Yeah.
And I'm the fixer. Yes. I'm used to fixing things.
Yes, you are.
Right? Oh, you're in pain? Here's your meds. Or, oh, you're hungry? Here, let me make you a sandwich. Sandwich doesn't fix anxiety and depression.
No.
Right? So it's frustrating from that perspective because I sometimes don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Except just...
Welcome to my world.
Hang out.
Yeah. And you know what?
Watch a movie,
yeah.
Whatever. And it's okay. I mean, it's much appreciated though that we still see those invites and we still get those text messages and, hey, I haven't talked to you in a while. How's things going? How's John? How are you? You know? And I just love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So do I. We have the best of friends.
We do. And this journey has had its moments, especially in the last couple of years. It's been kind of lonely.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can message with people and you can talk with people on the phone or whatever. But there's something about actually being with people. And I think it allows you to forget and leave it behind. So I'm looking forward to being able to socialize.
Yeah.
At some point, since now we're going on restrictions again.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to being able to socialize and maybe stay out a little bit late,
mm-hmm.
and maybe not feel uncomfortable in a room full of people or in a bar or
yes,
or whatever. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to peopling.
Yeah. Oh, so am I.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. You, with the bands, you practice inside and you hone your craft and then nothing. It's, and especially now, I mean, this is being recorded on Saturday, December 18th, 2021. In Ontario, we're going back to limited seating in pretty much everything.
Reduced capacity everywhere.
Yeah, reduced capacities, restaurants, restaurants and bars closing at 11 o'clock, stopping the alcohol at 10 o'clock. So it's kind of difficult, especially if you're in a band, when you don't start your set until 9 or sometimes even 10 o'clock. It's, wow, yeah.
Well, this time of year when all of the bands have Christmas gigs or parties or
even New Year's,
whatever.
New Year's Eve.
And New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the stuff. This is the most wonderful time of the year. Never mind the bars and the summertime and the barbecues and the backyard parties and that kind of thing. It's just... This is the time of year when you never know when Santa Claus is going to make an appearance at a gig grab the mic and kind of take over for a couple minutes. And I'm looking forward to being comfortable in those spaces again.
Yeah. Yeah. So am I.
Because I think we've been out to dinner twice in the last 6 months. Went to the gig a couple of times.
That's right.
And yes. I didn't feel 100% comfortable with it. Yeah. Despite the fact that at the time, there was nobody within 12 feet of us.
Yeah.
Not a soul. There were those of us at our table. And it was family, and we were vaxxed. I mean, just even going out to do my usual errands, it's just in and out.
Yeah.
No dilly-dallying. And I look forward to everybody being comfortable with that again.
Oh, me too. Me too. I tell you that I played two gigs this year. One with Sinner Saints in, I guess, up in Innisfil, somewhere around there. And that was a great gig. That was a surprise birthday party. And that was fantastic. But the atmosphere was, as jovial as it was, there was a limited amount of people. And you kind of stayed away from people when you weren't dancing or whatever. And then the next day we played Music in the Park in Tottenham. And Al and Jen showed up. And the hug from both of them, I did not want it to end. It was magical.
This is the stuff people are missing. And I think this is why so many people are coming forward with their own struggles.
Yeah.
Whether it's because they've always struggled with anxiety or whether it's because of what everybody has had to deal with in the last 2 years and the fear and the uncertainty and financial concerns and all of the things that this has created.
Yeah.
I think everyone's still pretty cautious.
Yeah. Yeah, which is unfortunate.
And it'll come back. It's going to get better and things will, I'm confident things are going to get back to normal. Just don't think now it's going to happen in the next couple of months, but it's hard when, you know, we joked at the beginning of 2020 that, oh, we're good because we had already started self-isolating because of your treatments. And we thought, okay, well, we have to keep you safe. So, you know, for the next little while. And it was fine because it was like, you know, January, February, crappy weather.
Yeah.
You don't want to go anywhere anyways.
Yeah. I was off until the beginning of April.
Yeah. And then March comes, mid-March, and boom. Everything shut down. And it was, And it was kind of good to have that time at home and to be able to just chill and not have to go anywhere and not worry about declining invitations. You know what, when we get invited to go to stuff and you click that maybe on the Facebook invite or whatever, I hate maybe. I want to say,
Exactly.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I think we've missed out on a lot in the last couple of years. And it's not just because of COVID. It's been because of all of the things that we have been through in the last couple of years since you had to start treatment again. So
And then there's I guess the beginning of this year there was a little mental blip. That was 3 months of my life trying to get all the drugs balanced out, and then going back to work. There was a period of time that was, instead of 8 hours, it was 4 hours, and then a couple of weeks of that, then there was 6 hours, then there was 8 hours, and then the struggle just seemed to pick up after that. There was never a full 5-day week. There was always a struggle, either internally or just, well, it was always internally, but it was either like a severe panic attack or just my mind playing tricks on me, or, you know, that just seemed to go through the entire year. And again, the pandemic played a role in that. I'm not going to say it didn't play a role. I think it played more of a role than we thought that it did. I was just going to say that.
I think a good deal of what you're going through right now is due in part to that. I don't think it's just the medications and the hormones and all the stuff. I think this has kind of played into it because, you know, we've all been sort of subjected to this fear.
Yeah.
Of getting sick.
Yeah.
Or worse.
Yeah. And the media, hello, media. You're not making it any better.
Yeah, I think it's important to be informed, but right now I'm kind of not watching the news a whole lot because
I can't.
No, it's too much. It's
It upsets me.
I think we have to be cautious, and I think we have to be wary of this because people have become very ill. People are suffering long term from side effects, and people have died from this. It's as simple as that. And regardless of whether you think it's real or fake or government engineered or whatever your thing is, you have a right to that. But
yes,
I think right now is the time to pay a little less attention to the doom and gloom in the world and try and find your happy place.
Well,
right?
I think my daughter and I, Dakota, were talking this morning, and she brought up a good point. She said, well, you know, even when this is over, you know, people will probably still wear masks, like especially if they catch the cold or something like that. And people will want to protect other people now that, you know, people are more conscious of how to spread disease. And I said that that's, you know, part of the problems that some countries are having, that it's all about their liberties and not other people's liberties. And you know what? If we loved our fellow man like we were supposed to, we would want to watch out for them and take care of them. Love your neighbor as yourself. You don't want your neighbor, you know, spreading the disease to you. So, you know, don't spread it to them.
I don't think people will be too quick to discard their masks. Because quite frankly, I think it's going to continue to be a requirement for some time. I would say 6 months anyways.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think people will be a little more conscious about not going out when they are sick with whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just if you got the sniffles or a cold or whatever, just stay home, stay away from people, take the day off work. I hope that people understand the importance of resting to heal yourself, because if you don't rest, you don't heal. I think we've still got a ways to go, but, as far as your whole battle, I mean, it's been exacerbated by this because we're so much more isolated. And I'm not one to talk about it. Someone just asked me the other day, like, you really need to let us know if you need anything and how you're. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm actually good. Do I have my moments where I get frustrated or fed up or whatever? Yeah, absolutely. I would like life to go back to normal, but I don't think our normal is going to be what it used to be.
Yeah.
100%. It's a little bit different. This is the thing you need to understand, is that if it hasn't touched your life, when it hits you this close to home, it changes you.
Mm-hmm.
It changes everything. It changes how you deal with finances. It changes how you deal with taking care of your own body. It changes your social life. It changes, it can have effects on your work life. I'm very fortunate to have an extraordinarily amazing group of people that I work with, some of whom know what you have been through.
Yeah.
Not everybody. Some of whom know and have been just fantastic.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what it was from the beginning, it was, you tell us what you need, you got it. If there's doctor's appointments, you say the word. If you need to leave early, you say the word. Mm-hmm. We will make it work for you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that kind of support, quite frankly, just knowing that you have people who support you like that, and it doesn't necessarily have to be people that you work with.
Yes.
Whether it's your family, whether it's a couple of close friends, whether it's a legion of people. You don't have to do anything for a person who's sick or in some sort of a battle, except let them know you're thinking about them.
Yes.
You don't have to pull out your checkbook.
Yeah.
If you are in a position to do something kind for another person,
mm-hmm.
show up, cut the lawn.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Little things like that. A quick text message.
Yeah. Oh.
Hey, haven't seen you guys in ages. We miss you. It's, you know.
Oh.
Those are the little things. I mean.
Yeah.
I don't think we have wanted to ask anybody for anything. I know I haven't.
No.
I don't feel like we've had to. We've been
absolutely
fortunate.
Yeah.
At least from the financial perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But other people, not so much.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I mean, if there's nothing else that you can do, but offer support in some small way,
mm-hmm.
because this is affecting families who don't have grown children as well. This is affecting families where there are young children.
Yeah.
there are young teens. And maybe what you can do is say, hey, we're taking the kids to the beach for the day. Why don't you send your kids along with us?
Yeah.
If you have the ability to do something like that, to bring some happiness to them.
Oh, absolutely.
That brings happiness to everybody.
Yeah.
Right? There are little things you can do, and it's just as simple as a kind word.
Yeah.
Oh, a text message.
The texts and the Facebook messages and stuff like that. Just say, you know, hey, how's it going? Miss you. Haven't seen you in a while.
And if you ask how they're doing and you really want to know, you could catch them on a day where they don't feel like talking about it. Because quite frankly, I get sick and tired of talking about it sometimes.
Yeah.
And not necessarily sick and tired of talking about it, but I'm just sick and tired of it.
Yeah.
You have those moments where you think, okay, I've had enough of this crap.
Yeah.
Can we be done?
Yeah.
Can we all get better? And that's not saying anything against you. Everybody goes through different battles.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, sometimes you just don't want to talk about it. Yeah. So if you ask somebody, hey, how have you been doing? And they're like, yeah, I've been great. And that's it.
Yeah.
Then that's all that they're comfortable saying at that time. Yeah. It's hard for us to sit here and say, well, these are the things that you shouldn't say to someone who has cancer or this or that or the other thing. Because as you said, I wouldn't want people to think, listening to this, oh, crap. Did I say something I shouldn't have?
Yeah.
Did I say what? Oh, is that me? No.
Yeah.
There isn't one single person that I can think of who has said anything that I would think to be the wrong thing. But I also understand that people sometimes don't know how to respond to this. And I truly think that when they offer a comparative experience, such as my such and such had this, or
my parrot or my dog or grandma.
Well, no, I mean, not even like making light of it.
Some people are really serious about,
right.
You know, my grandma's dog had cancer, but, you know, she pulled through. And they're honestly thinking that that's a relatable story.
And they want to offer some kind of encouragement. And I think the best encouragement you can offer is, you know, we're going to keep you in our prayers.
Yeah.
And if you're not a praying person, that's cool.
Sending you positive thoughts.
We'll take all the positive thoughts you can get.
You know what I think?
Send us funny jokes. Send us stupid jokes. What?
Care Bears.
You want a Care Bear?
No. When the people are sending you the positive thoughts, you know, Care Bears, you know, opening up their chests and the rays coming out.
Yes. Rainbows and sunbeams. Yeah, that's funny.
That's where I go.
Yeah. No, all of those things. You know what? Just a kind word to say you're thinking about someone.
Yeah, I love that.
And that can come if you're moved to do something like that. I believe that we're moved to do those things.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes, and it is likely coming at the exact perfect time. Because I don't think you get those ideas in your head that just come out of nowhere for no reason.
Yeah, it's not from you. It's otherworldly, I'm going to say.
Yeah, no, I believe in that 100%.
And those are the things that I love. It's like Jamie sent me that picture of him listening to the podcast on his, I believe it was his car radio. That just made my day. And then when I mentioned that on my last podcast, I got another one from Teresa, and she sent me a picture of her. Listen, and it's like, oh my goodness, that is so awesome. It helps me.
But if you think about it.
Oh, by the way, if you want to send me a picture of you listening to the podcast, it's thejohnwhiteproject@gmail.com.
If they're listening to this, they already know that.
Yeah, but okay, yeah. But I got to advertise it too, you know? And you can buy me a coffee by clicking the link button on the thing if you want. Okay, enough of advertising. Shameless promotion. By the way, you can tell this hasn't been rehearsed.
No.
This is all live off the floor.
This is going to be edited because right now this is just all over the place. I'm not sure we've really touched on.
Oh, no. I'm going to send this out live. This is.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's just things like, you know, you can eat X, Y, and Z. That'll cure your cancer.
Well, and again, I think it comes from a place of wanting to help and wanting to. Yeah, well, I think it comes from a place of just wanting to be helpful.
And I said this in the last episode. If you don't know what to say, just listen. Just be that shoulder. Empathize.
Not everyone has the capacity to hear it, because maybe there's something in their life that has maybe this is a trigger for them, right? Maybe they've been through an experience with someone and this brings it all back for them, and it's they can't put themselves in the place of
listening.
And you know what? Maybe those are the people that send you the funny memes, but don't necessarily send the long-winded text message, right?
Yeah. The funny memes are good. I love those too. Dad jokes are always
Dad jokes
good
are
too.
His favorite. That's why I bought you the mug.
Another one is you'll be finished soon. You could take that in so many ways. Yeah, it's inevitable.
I think, you'll be finished this soon. You'll be finished this life soon? Yeah. Or you'll be finished this treatment soon?
That's right. Or my ice cream.
Should I start planning the wake? Yeah, you're right. This will be done soon. This sandwich is fantastic.
That's right. Again, not rehearsed at all. What we want to say is thank you for listening. Uh-huh. Thank you for being there. Thank you for being our friends. And for those people who are listening that we've never met, thank you for listening. And you make me smile because I get my stats on Buzzsprout, and it gives me stats from all around the world. I've got listeners in South America. I'm going to say family in Australia, because there's only 3 downloads. Come on, Australia, pick it up. In Europe, I'm almost 200 downloads. And it makes me smile. Now, I don't check them every day. I just, when I come in and get ready to upload, I'll check my stats, and it's like, wow, I have that many people that I've never met that listen to me on a bi-weekly basis. Please, God, let me help them. I mean, for those of you who have listened, I have said it many times. If someone needs to hear this, if you know someone going through this, please tell them about the podcast. I will never make money off of this podcast. It's not about monetization at all. I am helping. I am bearing my soul to people that I don't know. And I'm bearing my soul to people that I know and love. I just want to get it out there. I want to help. And that's, like we said from the very beginning, that's what this is all about for me. It caught me off guard. It definitely pulled the rug out from underneath my feet. I was 54?
Yep.
54.
Yeah.
That cancer was not even in my brain. I mean, my mom is a breast cancer survivor multiple times. That was it for me. That was the cancer that was in my vocabulary. To be diagnosed with prostate cancer at 54 was kind of, it was surreal. And like I've said on many times, when the doctor said, yeah, you've got cancer, I mean, he was doing his job, and I totally get it. But I kind of grayed out from that point. And again, with Joy's work, letting her come to my doctor's appointments, she was the one that was getting all the information for me, because I just kind of heard the word cancer, and then it was pretty much until the end of the appointment, and pretty much even on the drive home. Did I drive home, or did you drive home?
Oh, no, I drove home.
Yeah,
you were still stunned coming out of the doctor's office, and I just started, said, no, give me the keys, get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, so it throws you for a loop. I mean, even when Carrie was on, his father was diagnosed with it, and then he was diagnosed early. But he was kind of prepared. Well, as much as you can be prepared for having a diagnosis of cancer.
I don't think you're ever prepared.
Yeah, I don't think...
No, I don't think you are.
No.
I don't think anybody is prepared when they get any kind of diagnosis that is a big deal, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Anytime anyone's diagnosed with anything, to them, it is a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think in saying that, keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Whether you find out from someone that they have cancer or anything.
Yeah. And I get this question a lot, and I'm finding that people are saying, you know, did prostate cancer run in your family? No. But breast cancer does. There is a correlation, a little bit. They're making the correlation scientifically between women who have breast cancer and men who have the prostate cancer. It's not like a big proven thing. But people will say, well, how do you think you got prostate cancer? A lot of it is life choices. A lot of it can be like eating healthy and things like that.
I don't think anybody ever knows for sure.
No, I mean, sometimes you've got the gene in you and...
Well, and that's part of it. Genetics is a huge part of it, right? Especially with
the breast
this
cancer
particular the, breast yeah. cancer gene, which, you know...
Yeah, it just kind of... make wise choices. We're not 10 feet tall and bulletproof men. As much as we like to think we are.
Well, and like you said, you can make all the good choices and you can be the marathon runner and you can be the person that works out at the gym and, you know, has 5% body fat or whatever. But I mean, that's not to say that something isn't going to get you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to be a defeatist or.
No, it's like.
Anything like that. But
something else on that article. It's like, well, you know, any one of us could be hit by a bus. Yeah.
Well, if I'm going to get diagnosed with getting hit by a bus,
exactly.
Then you can bet your ass I'm going to stay away from buses.
Exactly.
Pardon language. Yeah. Yeah. I think ultimately people come from a good place when they want to talk to you about it.
They do.
And we certainly understand because we have faced those comments.
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah. I don't think there was any malicious intent or anything
never,
like that.
Never.
You know.
I got so many comments after I was diagnosed with, you know, what were your symptoms? How did you catch it? And unfortunately for me, I'd been working on the night shift for forever. And some of the things that a regular day shift person would catch, I didn't catch. Like waking up in the middle of the night to pee. Well, I'm diabetic, so I was drinking a liter and a half of water every day. So, man, I was peeing all the time. You know, just... things like that, erectile dysfunction. We've covered this on a few episodes of the podcast. And yeah, sometimes there are no symptoms and sometimes you still get diagnosed. That's why your yearly checkup is very, very vital. I think that's pretty much the year in review and the topic of the day.
I think so. It's been kind of just a repeat of 2020. 2021 has been very much the same.
Yeah.
Except we're getting back into restrictions again.
Yeah.
But we will carry on.
Yes. Yes.
Because what other choice do we have?
Exactly. Yes. Don't forget on the 23rd of December, Scottish John will be reading 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. We're going to take a couple of weeks off after that. So the middle of January is when I will be back. If you have any questions, please email me at thejohnwhiteproject@gmail.com. If you can pass this along to someone that needs it, please, please do. If you can, please leave a 5-star review because that will help other people find this podcast, and maybe that's another way we can get somebody to get help or have their annual checkup or something like that. Well, that's it for us in our unscripted, totally mishmash of a show. I want to say God bless everybody and to
Merry
all
Christmas.
Our friends. We love and appreciate you. To everyone that I've never met and you are taking the time out of your day to listen to me, we love and appreciate you too. And yeah, we'd like to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas. and a joyous and happy new year. And let's just pray to God that 2022 is a better year for everybody. I mean, it doesn't matter where you live, this ugly thing has touched the entire world. And let's just hope it gets over and done with, and that your families all stay healthy and happy. I know Joy and I have both lost members of our family to COVID, so yeah, it just sucks all around. So God bless everyone. Be honest, stay true to yourself, love one another, and we'll see you in the new year on the next edition of the John White Project.